This NPR station is WMNF Tampa, WMNF 88.5 FM. Welcome to the afternoon. Hi, thank you for listening. Welcome to the afternoon. You are listening to WMNF Tampa, WMNF 88.5 FM, best station in the nation. Hello to everyone listening online. It's wonderful, wonderful for you to be out there. Yes, we got a heat wave going on. The heat wave has returned the first time in 7 years. Oh, I'm so excited. So that was just the jam. We will have some heat wave music in between our wonderful guests. Coming up, I've got some Half Gun Will Travel, some Magadog, some Glove, and GA20 all on deck for you guys. But let's see. I'm going to be talking in just a few minutes. We'll be chatting with people from Tampa Fringe Festival that opens up next week and it runs from the 10th through the 14th. I want to give you some tropical heat wave information because I know a lot of people are really interested in that. Tropical heat wave is tomorrow. The doors open at 5. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 4:30 p.m. there at the Cuban Club. And then the doors open at 5. Ticket sales stop today at 5 p.m. So if you want to save $10, tickets are $40 in advance, no fees, no anything. When we say $40, we mean $40, not $55 or $70. $40 in advance, $50 at the door. So go ahead. You're going to go. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. Just get your tickets. I hope to see you there. If you see me, say hello. Hello. I'm so excited. So that's going on. Also, I want to let you know that tomorrow, well, coming up after this show is E-Love and then the Live Music Showcase. And they're playing Synergy on in the Cup, pretty sure, on Live Music Showcase today. And then tomorrow at noon, Elin Jewell will be playing live on the air. And then, let's see, at around 3, GA20 will be playing live on the air. At 4:30, the Serotones will be playing live on the air. And then also Mark from the Vodka Knots is going to come and spin some records at 5 p.m. on Birthday Girl Lounge Laura Taylor's show. So it's going to be really fun listening. And I hope you're out there and I hope you get to go. I'm so excited about Heat Wave. I'm so glad we get to do this. What else do I have to tell you? I'm not going to be here next week. Frank and Tom are sitting in and covering, and that is lovely of them. I'm taking a real life vacation. first one in 3 years, so I should come back refreshed and full of lots of ideas. And then, all right, let's get ready. In just a couple minutes, we're going to start talking to Vulva Vavoom, Clark Brooks, Kat Lim, and Randy Rosenthal here to talk about the Tampa Fringe Festival. So stay tuned. Hang on to your bonnets or your whatever you want to hang on to, and we'll be right back with the Tampa Fringe here. Meanwhile, why don't we listen to some Have Gun, Will Travel? I realize that the Tampa Fringe is not an improv festival and it is not a comedy festival. But what I have found is that the Tampa Fringe includes a lot of if not out-and-out improv, improvisation by the performers, and a lot of fun. And so I'm so happy to welcome back people from the Tampa Fringe Festival to the airways of WMF. Thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, so thank you.
I am going to start with someone returning to the building. So nice to see you, Kat Lim. Thank you for coming in. You're based in St. Pete.
Yes, I am. And thank you so much for having me.
And then what's the name of your show?
The name of my show is Kat Lim's Deepest, Darkest Secrets.
Ooh. Yeah. I guess they're not secrets, right, anymore?
Well, in about a week, no.
And then with us, we have Clark. Clark, will you introduce yourselves? You've got two shows.
Yeah, my name is Clark Brooks. Our adult show will be Tampa News Force Live, which will be sort of a mock
talk show. Can you back up from the mic a little bit?
Thank you. Sorry. That's a problem I always have in life. Yeah, we're doing a parody of a late night talk show. That's Tampa News Force Live. And then I'll also be participating in the Kids Fringe. We'll be doing stand-up comedy for kids.
Excellent. Yeah. And did you say I call you Elvis?
Oh, no, that's
your cup.
That's my cup.
It's Randy, isn't it?
We don't get it mixed up. It is Randy, yes.
Randy, your show sounds really interesting. Will you talk a little bit about America versus the healing ray gun?
Oh, absolutely. So this is like a live version of like a true crime podcast or a trippy documentary.
Ooh.
And it's an absolutely mind-bending true story.
Excellent. And then with us, we've got Vulva Vavoom, who is here. And Vulv, can I just call you Vulv?
You know, that's very intimate and I like it.
That's what we do here on WMNF. Vulv, what is your show?
So I'm involved in two shows this year. My solo cabaret is called Transmasculine Cabaret, starring Vulva Vavoom. I stick the longest subtitles possible so we get more ink in the press.
It's a way of doing things, yeah.
Yeah, it works. Works for me. And then the second show I'm involved in with my creative partner is I'm head writer and appearing in Stroke of Genius, Pantomime Masturbation Throughout Performing Arts History.
Ah, excellent. It's good. I didn't realize there was scientific research being presented the Fringe Festival.
You know, you laugh, but we've actually commissioned a number of studies. We have a lot of charts and qualitative and quantitative data in the
excellent.
Show.
Excellent. Excellent. That's wonderful. So before we start talking about individual shows, there's one. Do you all consider yourselves, like, saying Fringe makes it sound that it's obviously not mainstream, but there's sort of like an edge. When somebody says it's going to be a Fringe Festival, sort of like an edge or undiscovered. I don't believe this. I know some people believe that it's like, oh, they're at the beginning of their careers or something, which I found not to be true. But talk a little bit about what Fringe means. A couple of people are nodding. What is Fringe? Why is a Fringe Festival different than just a regular theater festival? You're going to have to back up a little from the mic. Okay, see you going.
I can tell already, right?
We just want us to jump in?
Yeah.
It's untethered. It's unexpected. So I think that's interesting. I'm not at the beginning of my career. I've been an artist my entire life, a filmmaker and other artists. But this is very exciting. This is more exciting than doing a traditional commercial show because anything could happen.
That's a good one.
And I think it's less of an attempt to be edgy or cutting edge type. It's just people who maybe don't feel they want to be restricted by traditional theater standards. And it just gives you a little more freedom in order to do weird stuff. I always tell people it's weird. You're going to meet weirdos. You're going to see weirdos and you'll like it.
And the generosity,
right,
too.
There are fringe festivals in major cities across the country and across the world. It is something that started in Edinburgh, where there was a large legit theater festival, and then all of the artists who were not invited to participate in that festival put themselves out on the fringes of the festival, which is how the movement got started. And so it's a place, as Clark mentioned, for artists who feel like they're restricted in other venues.
Mm-hmm. And Kat?
Yeah, I would just like to add on to that we as artists get to really dial into the things that are really weird and unique about us. And I see that as the meaning of Fringe. And you're able to find your people that way who appreciate that weird uniqueness.
One of the artists answered this last year or the year before, and how they were sort of using it within the context of funding. And that a lot of times people use their Fringe opportunities, I'm not quite sure, to sort of explore art that they are interested in making, but they aren't, you know, it's going somewhere and they're experimenting too. The artist is experimenting, not just the audience. in being open to experimentation mm-hmm. and learning. And so a lot of times the fringe events use a lot less funding because there's still like the idea is that it can be mobile and it could go anywhere.
I'd like to add to that. That's very much the case. But also nationally and internationally, you will see some fringe festival artists who are doing the same one or two shows in repertory for years, and they are perfectly polished and they've got every moment down pat. But they also will, within that framework, experiment a little bit.
Right. Yeah. Because, I mean, I think that that has actually been almost an issue with fringe shows. When you do see the same person doing the same thing, you know, then someone says, well, I've seen that already. Unless I know as an attendee that they're doing something different, mm-hmm. I'll be like, oh, no, I'm going to go see something new that I haven't seen before, even though there's a comfort in that. So listeners, we're talking with four of the performers at six performances, if I have that correct, for the Tampa Fringe Fest. I just want to mention something great has happened for them also. They just got a space. The Crest Building in Ybor is just blowing up with the arts that they're doing there. Tempest Projects, of course, is an anchor in that space, and there's other galleries and other great things. The Florida Museum of Photographic Arts is moving into that, and now Tampa Fringe has moved into that. So there's like this hot spot of creativity. Now, I should ask, Kat, I know that you're a St. Pete person with me. So, Clark, where are you based out of?
I'm a Tampa guy.
Tampa guy?
Tampa as well.
Tampa?
Yeah, Ybor local.
Ybor, okay. So we've got locals. So do you see in what you were doing and creating your work and creating these shows and other shows, because this is not the only stuff that you guys do, in other shows, is there something about being here in this area that allows you to create something? Or is there something that being here in this area kind of makes it harder to create?
Well, there's an energy in Ybor that lends itself to free thinking and being experimental and trying new stuff. So I think that's definitely an aspect of it. That Ybor is definitely a part of the festival.
Right. Yeah. Right. Oh, it's a kind of a magical place, because you never, ever, even as built up and kind of tamed in some ways, Ybor is now, go walk around at, 12:30 in the morning.
It would be different if it was in Carrollwood.
Right.
Let's put it that way, so.
Right. You'd have to walk around at 9:30 at night if you want to be at
next to the Best Buy.
So yeah. What about you, everyone else? Is there something that you embrace or run away from in this area?
Just to speak of my love for Ybor City, you can't tell today, but I'm very heavily tattooed, and the theming of my tattoos is Ybor City cigar label art. Mm-hmm. So a lot of gold filigree. It's just a very unique place that becomes part of our art because it's such a cultural melting pot, and mm-hmm. that definitely informs the festival. The festival's, icon is a rooster.
Right, and I think that the history of Ybor, there's revolution threaded through the history of Ybor, and there's people going outside of their traditional roles with women working in Ybor regularly, decades and decades before that happened everywhere else, to have that, the multi voices where you could hear all these different accents and languages in one place. And so Ybor has sort of preserved that kind of special stuff. Is there anything in this area that you wish was a little bit different to allow you to thrive more on what you do on your work?
I traditionally complain about the traffic. I don't know how that impacts my work. But.
I would think you would use it as time to write more material.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I don't know if he's driving. We kind of want him to.
I don't drive safely though. I'm in Tampa. Why would I drive safely?
Oh, right. So. We're related.
Right. So
I think this is an incredibly supportive and embracing community. And when I say community, I'm including Tampa and St. Petersburg, and mm-hmm. I suppose Clearwater as well. And I am from Tampa, but I consider myself bicoastal because mm-hmm. I'm in St. Pete every mm-hmm. week to soak up what St. Pete has to offer. And I was going to say before is that the artists in Tampa, which are exquisite in what they can, in what we do, especially in theater and other arts, are very generous, and the audiences are very generous. The only thing that we probably are lacking is more audience. Mm-hmm. That it's more shows compete for the same share of a small slice. And now, more than ever, people are seeking. They're so hungry for in-real-life experiences. Come to Fringe Fest.
I have to say, there is... I missed, during the pandemic, I missed live music and live theater more than I missed going out to restaurants, parties, everything. Like, the lack of music and the lack of theater, the lack of performance was, and as much as I watched it on Zoom and stuff like that, I mean, it was creative, but being able to go out, I go to the theater more often now than I did before the pandemic, just because I realized what a loss my soul had without having it. So, you know, so definitely I agree with that. We need more people going out. And I don't think people always realize how much they are going to get from it by paying, you know, $10, $20, $30. You walk away with hundreds of dollars of value.
The time usage also in terms of resources is really wonderful with fringe festivals, because not only is it monetarily affordable, you come out for one afternoon or one evening, you can jam 4 or 5 30 or 45 minute plays into your outing without really breaking a sweat. It's you're not committing to 1 2.5 hour show. You get to look at the schedule and figure out what 5 shows do I want to see.
It's good for the commitment phobes.
Also, if you're one of these people who has the valid complaint that Hollywood doesn't produce much new material or new topics, you're going to see stuff at Fringe that you would never see in a movie theater.
Right. That's right. So, this is true. Well, I want to dive into kind of what different people are doing. And then I did ask if everyone could do a little piece of their work. And just to give listeners an idea. So, Kat, I'm going to start with you because you're furthest. Well, you're not furthest away from me. That would be. Yeah, but I'm going to start with you because you're across from me. So, Kat Lim's Deepest, Darkest Secrets. You are on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of the Fringe Fest.
Yes.
And you must be, you know, because you're in the afternoon on Saturday, and then you're in the early evening on Friday, and then you're late night on Thursday. So it must be like, all right, let's make sure she's going okay before we can put her during daylight hours.
Yeah, it's like a really exclusive showing Thursday night. That's how I'm trying to, like, position it. Like, I know you guys have work tomorrow morning, but don't worry about that.
Right, yeah. Right, you'll be done. You'll be fine. So you're going to be talking about your secrets. You're, you know, I mean, I know you from the board of WMNF, where you were one of our board members. And at the time, you brought this wonderful focus to diversity that we really needed. And then you're, as it says here, you're first generation Filipino, Chinese, you know, so that brings, especially through the last few years, all sorts of special sauce.
Yes.
To what you're doing. So will you give us a little information about that?
Yeah, so I'm going to be performing stand-up, and my stand-up is really informed by my experiences, my lived experiences, my perspective, and all the really just my thoughts and that I have from day to day. And a lot of that is because of my Filipino heritage. So for example, I do think that I get a lot of my sense of humor from my mom. Shout out to Josephine Blanche Lim in Lakeland. But one day, so back before I was, now I'm a graphic designer and a comedian and a performer and everything, but back in college, I was supposed to be a doctor, which is should not sound surprising to anyone who is of a Filipino background. And but since then, I've come a long way. My parents initially did not support it, but now they've actually come a long way. And just a few weeks ago, my mom was telling me that, like, you know, you're out going off on this new venture as a newly self-employed graphic designer. And since you do improv comedy, you know, I think improv and business, it goes hand in hand. It's really going to help you in the business world because you really need to think while you're standing. And I'm like, think while you're standing. Something that you should know about Filipinos is we like to kind of make up our own phrases. So for example, turning off the TV is close the TV, turning on the lights, opening the light. And in this case, thinking on your feet is think while you're standing. And so I go, Mom, do you mean think on your feet? And without missing a beat, she goes, well, you have to be on your feet if you're going to stand, right? So just things like that I've taken with me. And then I'm going to also go into secrets, you know, fantasies, things that I usually keep to myself, embarrassing stories, mental illness, all that good stuff, you know? So get ready, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
So in talking about this, and this is, I'm asking you, but this is also for everybody. So revealing parts of yourself, you know, I mean, there's, why? How come? I mean, there must be a benefit to you to do that, because when I know that I've revealed things about myself, and not always complimentary things about myself, but I just had to be like, guess what? Here I am.
Yeah. So to quote Britney Spears from her Circus album, there are two types of people. I was listening to it on the way here. There are two types of people in this world, people that entertain and people that observe. And I relate to that. I have all these feelings and these thoughts and opinions, and I can't be the only person that has these feelings, right? And it's so cathartic to be able to share it, but in a way that feels relatable, in a way that like people can relax and just understand that they're not the only person that thinks these things. You know, they can really connect with it. And it's all really, at the end of the day, it's all about connecting with other people.
That's wonderful. That's awesome. Sweet, sweet, sweet. Well, I'm going to skip over to you, Randy, because you started talking about your show with the ray gun.
Healing ray gun.
Healing ray gun. And it just sounds, you know, so interesting. So just real quick, like give me 2 minutes of information about the healing ray gun. It sounds very 50s. Ooh, you need a theremin or something in the background.
It was a beautiful day, June 1st, 1973, Charlotte, North Carolina. Maybe a little unseasonably warm for two armed federal marshals in their polyester suits, mustachioed men with a purpose. And as they drove to the town square, they carefully packed their weapons and pulled out a giant sledgehammer, walked out to the square, and proceeded to execute a machine with 40 blows. In that year, over 1,000 machines would be seized from doctors' offices by federal marshals. Why? Well, this was the question that I wondered. I was tracking down a story about a doctor right here in Tampa Bay that seemed to miraculously have a cure for pain without drugs or surgery. And in course of this investigation, I made a phone call. And I made a phone call, and the voice on the other end said, "You've come at the right time to save the world." Which eventually led me to an abandoned warehouse in South Florida, where the archives of a great inventor from the 1930s were transported from New York. And I was able to go down, and I brought a cinematographer with me at the very beginning of this project, not knowing what I'd see. And maybe it could have been like Al Capone's vault and be empty. But instead, it was filled with papers and machines and documents and films. I told the caretaker what I was doing, and he felt bad for me. And he said, "All right, look, I'm not supposed to do this, but there's a plastic bin over there. Take a few things, put it in the bin, take it home, look at it, come back and get more." And I'm like, yes.
Woo.
And so I'm making a film. So I see a box that says videos. And so I pull that box down and I open the box and I dissociate. Mm-hmm. I cannot understand what I'm seeing, because inside this box on top was a VHS film. It was the very first time I had taken my documentary skills and made a medical film in 1993.
Right.
This sets off a series of uncanny coincidences, and that.
When you decided to do this, did you know I'm doing this because I'm going to create a piece out of this? Like, was this a creative project that you were launching, or were you curious and investigating something, and then you're like, oh crap, there's really, like, once you decide to have a cinematographer, I guess that says it, but even at the beginning, was it just curiosity? Were you trying to solve something, or you're like, this is my next project, I'm honest?
This is fascinating. So, you know, I am looking for, this is not the film I would choose to make. This is not a story that I set out to solve. This is a story that has cajoled me, pulled me, nagged me, prodded me, a story that has to be told. It's a story that has to be told, and it's been tried to be told. I am not the first person to hold this torch. I am just the current one that has to bring this story to light. And you'll have to see the show to really understand. It's if my whole life just ended up right for this moment.
So America versus the Healing Ray. I want to say the Healing Ray is also on Thursday, and then Saturday and Sunday. So Thursday at 7, Saturday at 7, and Sunday at 1:30. So we got that. All right, Volva. Volve, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
Let me put everybody's mics back on. So are you doing something from from the Transmasculine Cabaret or from your other show that you're involved with?
I brought you the only part of Transmasculine Cabaret that can get past the FCC. So I had to do a little cutting and pasting, but I think I successfully found a little snippet.
Luckily, I have really cool listeners. So bring it on, woman.
All right. Oh, so I'm appearing as a drag king across town later, so I have to change all my makeup and costuming. Wir möchten Sie nicht belasten. Oh, no. I'm glad you're here. I like having company. Now I can explain very personal things out loud while I'm at my obviously metaphorical dressing table. Huh? The bathroom is at the end of the hall, but don't touch the drain. It's a portal to a plane with indescribable eldritch monsters and unholy existential horrors, the unspeakable names of which will drive a man to madness. there's toothpaste and tissues and such in the medicine cabinet, but the door sticks. Oh, crap. Time to take my meds. Ask your culture whether severe gender dysphoria may be right for you. Side effects may include being told your identity is fake or invalid, constantly explaining and justifying your existence, having to come out to new people constantly, running out of time for this section because there are too damn many, and it's exhausting to cope with serious anxiety and depression every hour of every day, plus all the other comorbid symptoms you get so sick of it that you throw things in frustration. May cause changes in mood or behavior. Do not exceed recommended dosage of genders. Use caution when operating heavy subject matter. If you experience unusual symptoms, call your sassy queen friend immediately. Gender dysphoria may cause headaches and suicidal thoughts in some patients. Consult your mental health care provider frequently. Do take this drug with alcohol.
Jeez, that's crazy. So, it's very special to talk about the LGBT plus community, transgender or anything. I mean, Florida is just a special hell, I think, right now for a lot of people, for many, many, many people, but especially with that. And I'm wondering, it's wonderful that you are in the Fringe Festival. Does it put different types of pressure on you to be part of a political thing?
So that's a great question. Most years I do, as the great Scott Swenson puts it, boobies and BS on top of a layer of subtle messaging. And this year, because of all of Governor DeSantis's hijinks, I thought it would be important to take my comedy and wrap it around an actual relevant social issue, because I have identified as transmasculine since the mid-80s, and it's an important part of my personality and identity. And it usually doesn't come on stage all that much because I usually appear as a drag queen, but I felt that this was a good year to really just see if anybody comes and gives me any crap about it. They're mm-hmm. certainly welcome to try. So that the Fringe Festival gives us a platform to discuss those issues.
Yeah, and in a way, both good and bad. I think people likely to come to a Fringe Festival are also likely to be supportive, but it would be interesting to see if there's, some nut job.
I was going to say wacko. So
wacko's okay. Wacko, nut job. We all can come up with different names. When you're working on the shows, do you when you're building them, do you know where you're going? Do you have it plotted out and you know where you're going, or do you kind of build it as you go along to see what happens before you start your rehearsals and process? So what is your process for creating this show or other shows?
It always starts at the word processor. It used to start at a typewriter, but it's much more efficient now at a word processor.
Word processor?
Yes.
Like the old 1980s thing where you would just type in and it would give you four lines?
I wish you can't get ribbons for those anymore. But it always starts at the writing table with, just the basic, where do we want this story to go? The beginning, the middle, the end. So with Stroke of Genius, Pantomime Masturbation, the lecture started with, we want to tell the story of this frustrated academic with this hyper-specialized field of study that he takes very seriously and which is completely academically sound. And what is his journey in the course of the lecture for kind of bringing everyone along with him? And so we start with kind of our beginning and our end, and then we work our way into the middle to kind of figure out what is the best way to get to the end.
There's got to be a peak, right?
Yeah, and I don't know if everyone else works the same way or not, but we don't get anything on its feet for rehearsal until we have kind of a narrative structure.
That sounds great. Awesome. So then I want to go to Clark. Mm-hmm. Clark, you've got something from news, your news or something from the, because you're helping, it sounds like you are less of a lead on the kids stuff. I don't want to say, but yeah. Tampa News Force Live
Yes.
I want to go Tampa News Force Live.
Well, it's less a new Tampa News Force is the name of the organization, but we'll be presenting a mock late night talk show. We'll have some stand up comedy with Sean Harper and JJ Curry. We'll have local burlesque legend Katie James will perform. We'll do some videos and we'll have some banter back and forth, just like, you know, the old Tonight Show when it was good. that's what we're shooting for. I don't have a snippet for you. But Tampa News Force is a comedy organization that's been around for a few years, originally started by John Jacobs and Josh Santos, and kind of a postmodern National Lampoon. We do written fiction. We publish daily satire, frequent appearances by Ron DeSantis, Rick Scott. Lately, Jeff Holcomb has shown up in our pages.
They make it easy sometimes to make fun of. Like, they don't make anything else easy, but at least for comedy.
And those guys probably wouldn't be fans of what we write, but we write about them anyway. A more modern reference would be The Onion, but it's all local-centric. But we've produced live shows. We've produced video sketches. We've had three or four films that have been in the Dunedin Film Festival. So this will be Tampa News Force's first foray into Fringe.
Dear listeners, you can go to the website, and it's Tampa News Force, FORCE.com. Mm-hmm. And then find all sorts of fun stuff there. I was there last night kind of poking around it, and there is a lot of afraid of children.
And we've given performance opportunities to over 60 local performers so far, lately, between actors and comedians and writers. Mm. So we feel like we're almost a legitimate arts organization at this point.
Right. Well, it sounds
no
pretty.
Money.
Right.
But,
yeah. Well, you know. Most legitimate art organizations always say no money. So, and the Tampa News Force Live is going to be Thursday night at 8:45, mm-hmm. and then Friday night at 10:30 p.m. and Saturday night at 10:30 p.m.
Yep.
So now everyone's had a chance to talk about their stuff. Are these anyone's? Is this your first show doing this, or has everybody here? It sounds like everybody's done shows before. Have you done shows before, Kat?
So yes, I've done shows. I've done sketch shows with Dirty Johns over in St. Pete, but this is actually the first time I'm going to be doing stand-up by myself for the 30 minutes. So it's very exciting.
Now you all have done this before. It sounds like everybody else has. Do you have any
different shows?
Any advice for Kat for her first 30 minutes stand-up?
For stand-up advice?
For her advice, like, or
breathe.
Just breathe.
Remember to breathe.
I just pass out immediately on stage.
Meant to do that, punk.
Yeah.
I would say one of the best things about Fringe festivals is that the audiences who tend to show up are usually very open-minded people. Mm-hmm. So what you would typically have to rein in for a regular stand-up set, you can probably feel free to, go a little bit off base and explore and interact with the audience a little more safely than you can in other spaces.
That's very good advice.
Thank you.
Also, we told Kat in the lobby that to see as many shows as possible and meet as many people, because that's really the appeal if you're a performer, is getting out and networking and seeing weird stuff.
It really does appear to be a pop-up community.
Yeah.
And see as many shows as you can. There's a lot of people coming from outside the country. I know that there's a Japanese puppet show that I'm looking forward to seeing.
I know. There is a ton going on. I'm out of town until Friday afternoon. I'm like, I can see a few things still, you know, then. So I do want to talk a little bit about something, about a Fringe community, because I have noticed when I've attended Fringe, I'll see some of the same people every year. And they, you know, this is on their calendar. This is what they do every year. They go to this, they go to Orlando, they go to a couple of the other Fringe shows, and it's you know, like their Grateful Dead lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they have like those same thing. But I want to talk a little bit about that community. I mean, has Fringe in so far created a community for people? Has there been crossover where you meet someone, we should work together, or is it more just like, oh no, I really like you a lot, I'm still doing my own thing? But I mean, how does that work? You just said, oh yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean, you meet these people and you sort of form instant friendships, and just the nature of the circumstances under which you meet kind of lends itself to creative pursuits. So Volva, an associate of Volva, and I have worked together before. I'm not allowed to mention the name, but
they have beef.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, I see a show in the future.
Yeah. For the sake of the show and promoting the show, we have a mock rivalry with one of the show promoters. So,
excellent. Excellent.
He knows who he is.
Speaking of the communities, so the Fringe Festival over in Orlando is soon after Tampa's. It is gigantic. Yeah. It is usually over 100 shows over 2 weekends. My household makes a trip of it every year. We went to rent a hotel room for both weekends and try to see as many shows as we can. And there's a lot of cross-pollination. Some of the folks who have appeared there are going to be at our festival this year. Randy mentioned the Japanese puppeteer, Yanomi Shoshenz. I've met her. She's insanely talented. We've got Paco Erhardt, who's a stand-up from Germany. We've also got a live Dungeons & Dragons show. Mm-hmm. So there's just, there are all kinds of folks. You meet them, you cross-pollinate, you make guest appearances in their shows. It's a very collaborative community.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's only going to improve now that Fringe has an actual space and everything is going to kind of be centrally located, whereas before, kind of spread out a little bit and mm-hmm. Maybe logistically difficult to attend every show and as many venues. Now that they're in the Crest Building, I think it's going to be a lot easier to form those relationships.
And that's also, I think Trish was talking about doing things not just for 4 days a year, but mm-hmm. being able to be part of a community on a, you know, throughout the year, which is a big deal. Is there anything that... like that, where there's a sort of a fringe outlet all around the year here in the area? Right, I understand, but there's nothing doing that now, right now.
So Tampa Fringe will have things year-round. The lack of space made it difficult before. Previously, we would have to find other spaces in Ybor. Mm-hmm. Over in Orlando, they have. We just participated in the Winter Mini Festival in January. So, definitely look for a lot of use of the Fringe Theater space in the Crest Building throughout the year. That's going to make it oh so much easier.
Oh, yeah, that's
yeah, they're literally still painting stuff. That's how new this is. So.
Yeah. And there are, I also want to mention, because the Fringe is going to be going on at the historic Crest Building, and that is located at 1624 East 7th Avenue. It's right near the corner. There's kind of like a little hookah bar on the corner of 17th and 7th, and then it's just west of that, and there's a door that usually they have a sandwich board out in front, and you can find it. And then there's a big open space, kind of two space, but big open space when you go up there. Is that where people are going to be performing in that big open space or in the micro theater?
So there will be performances in the 40-seat theater. There will also be performances in the screen door, right. micro cinema. And there will also be a micro space, which is an office 15-seat theater borrowed from another artist in the building. So in addition to HCC, there's just right. going to be fringers all over the place.
So yeah, at HCC, which is located at 1411 East 11th Avenue, where a lot of Fringe, if you've gone in the past, their Fringe Festival has used the Performing Arts Building a ton in the past. And that's on 14th. And 11th, right by Tropical Heat Wave. Yeah. Gotta work it in there. I know, I'm so excited. I'm sorry. So excited. And that's what I keep thinking about, because the thing I love about Tropical Heat Wave is that I wander around and I'll have four bands. Like, I want to see these four bands. I want to see, I'll let you guys know, I want to see Magadog. I want to see Have Gun Will Travel. I want to see GA20, and I want to see Glove. I love those bands. I really want to see them. But what happens is, while I'm getting ready to go see another band, I stumble on something that I didn't know I wanted to see, and it turns out sometimes to be the best thing I saw all night. And that's what I feel like Fringe is.
Yes,
is that you might go to something, but then you're gonna be like, well, what's this? All right, yeah, I'll check that out. And then you go in, you're like, holy moly, my brain is blown. And you know, so that is the excitement, and that has happened. For every time I've gone to Fringe, I've gone to plan things. I usually go to whoever's on my show. And then, but then I'll find something. I was like, I'm so glad that I saw that. As people who are attending Fringe, I'm sure that you have your own shows and you worry about your shows. Are you able, like, before you do your performance, are you able to go see others, or do you need to get a performance out of the way?
Absolutely. 100%. Like, people may want to buy tickets to all three nights of Tampa News mm-hmm. Force Live, which I can't blame them.
Right. Of course. I mean, that would
be. But they may stumble across someone else's show and enjoy it. You know, that's
and
possible.
And you don't resent them, or you
no,
do a little
I don't
bit?
Resent them.
A little bit,
no.
Do you? A little?
As long as it doesn't, you know. conflict with our time. So.
There's a way that Heatwave and Fringe are connected. And you mentioned about communities and pop-up communities. When you go to see a concert or something, then that's great, you go. When you go to a festival like Heatwave or a Fringe Festival, the audience forms a community. I'm more familiar with that. And it's exactly what you crave. You've just experienced something remarkable, like one of the most memorable shows we talked about, this group here, the four of us, was a show in the back of a truck.
Right.
And then if you want to, you can go have a drink and talk about it, and you want to go see this show, and you go and make new friends.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I say, because a lot of times I end up going by myself. Sometimes people go with me, but a lot of times I go by myself. And then inevitably I'm talking to the person next to me, or I'll see them. That we're just at both of the same show, and then we're like, blah, 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 blah. So it is a very strong community thing. And that's why every single year I love having Tampa Fringe on, because I think it's purposely a community thing. Like, I think it's intentional.
For hanging out and discussing what you've seen with, if you're extroverted, with the random theater patron next to you, you can go to Fringe Central, which is going to be inside HCC. It's a room that gets set up every year with refreshments and seating and usually some music. And it's almost a sort of a salon.
Salon.
And this year there will be beer and wine, which always makes every show much more enjoyable.
Much more salon-y.
Yes. So that's a place to just, if you're so excited about what you've seen, or if you're so excited about what you want to see, you get to sit down and compare notes and tell each other, oh, I really enjoyed this. Oh, what's your taste? Oh, I think you would love such and such.
There was a couple years that, I think it was the first year I went, and I was just chatting with someone, and they brought their teen. So they were 14 or 15, and the kids were like, I didn't know people could do this, and now I want to do this. And that was all, they were just so, and I thought, one, yay to those parents, and yay to those kids, but yay to the performers who interacted with teenagers. Instead of looking at teenagers and being like, oh, those are going to be difficult, whoever they just saw interacted with the teenagers in their performance and blew the kids' minds. And I was just like, yay on that.
We do have very clear demarcations on each show. It shows what age ranges are appropriate. So Kids Fringe is good for everybody. And then if you are a family concerned about what you're going to take everyone to, it's all very clearly marked.
So, and I want to mention, we can't mention prices, but the tickets, there's a range of tickets. I think the most expensive is definitely like a restaurant, you know, if you buy food for two people at McDonald's. And but you can get all access passes, or passes to multiple shows and stuff like that. If you want more information, you can go online to tampafringe.org and look at stuff. And we are out of time, so I just want to make sure that we get everybody's times in. For our friend, Randy Rosenthal, America versus the Healing Ray Gun. You are again Thursday at 7, Thursday 11th at 7, Saturday the 13th at 7, and Sunday the 14th, Mother's Day. What a nice thing to do on Mother's Day. Take your mom out. You're at 1:30. So yay for that. And then for Vulva Vavoom, which is yours, one that your teenagers are?
Forbidden.
Huh. Probably smart, and don't mess with that. So you are also your Friday night at 7:15, Saturday at 1:15, and Sunday at 3:15. And then your other show?
My other show is Friday at 10:30, Saturday at 6:15, and Sunday at 1:45. You can bring your mother to come see the Spankin' Shyster.
The Spankin' Shyster. I want to be called the Spankin' Shyster.
You can.
I feel like I have to spank more.
That doesn't come across on the radio. Well, it's an audio medium.
Yeah, I think everyone knows. And Kat, your shows are Thursday at 10:30, Friday, and that's my sister's birthday. Friday at 7:15, and Saturday at 3:30, and then you're done, and you can just enjoy the rest of the
gonna hang out.
Festival. Mm-hmm. So they, and then we end up with our wonderful Tampa News Force, and you guys are and everybody's going to all three shows apparently. Thursday at 8:45, Friday at 10:30, and Saturday at 10:30, also late night.
Right, and kids aren't allowed, but kids stay in school.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And respect your parents.
Yeah.
So if you want more information, you can go online to Tampa Fringe. And then afterwards, I'm going to be posting websites and stuff that I find for everybody else so they can find you as well. Thank you all so much for coming on Art in Your Ear today.
Thank you, Jill. Thanks for having
me. It was a joy talking to you. I can't wait. It's going to be so exciting to see that. We are going to play a little bit of Magadog for you. Magadog is reuniting.
What?
Reunited, and it feels so good. So Magadog is reuniting for Tropical Heat Wave for WMNF. So stick with us. Be right back after this song.
He's the talk of the town. He's always got the answers whenever he's around. Always happy, acting funny, saying something new. Looking handsome, mighty scary, passing out a clue.
And that is Magadog. They will be appearing tomorrow at 6:30 at Tropical Heat Wave. Also, talk to Mark, who I get to introduce. Their own Scott Elliott is on there. Just all sorts of bands. You can go online to WMNF.org. And right there, there is a ton of Tropical Heat Wave information. Coming up next is, I see Tom Collins is sitting in for the wonderful E-Love, so you will have an afternoon with some beautiful global electronica and wonderful music. After that is, I can let you know who's coming on. Synergy in a Cup will be coming on Live Music Showcase. Let's see, I think we have a thing that I can play with Synergy in a Cup.
Hey, this is Tone Capone with the best of the Bay, winning Waves of the Bay in Tampa Bay. You guys are in luck. You guys are in for a treat. Coming up on May 6th at the Tropical Heat Wave, one of my favorite groups is going to be playing Synergy in a Cup.
From the Greek guy, with no flaws off the meter.
Sounds so beautiful, don't you agree? Make sure you guys check them out. May 6th, the Tropical Heat Wave returns to the Cuban Club in Ybor City with Synergy in a Cup.
Check out the full lineup and buy your tickets to Tropical Heat Wave at tropicalheatwave.org.
And Synergy and a Cup will be playing, and then also you will hear them on Live Music Showcase at 2 o'clock. Well, we have to get out of here. Thank you so much for listening to Art in Your Ear on WMNF, WMNF Tampa, WMNF 88.5 FM, best little station in the nation. And don't you forget that. Hope to see you at Tropical Heat Wave. Once again, tickets are on sale for the advance price, $40, up until 5 p.m. today. And then tickets will start being sold again tomorrow at the Cuban Club at 4:30. Doors open at 5. Music starts at 6. So, or something like that. I'm not sure. There's a marching band to start it. It's going to be really great. And if you see me, please do say hi. Likely I'll be wearing black. You are listening to WMNF. We've got GA20 in the background with Hawaiian Boogie. God, if you're a blues lover, this is really a really good heat wave for you. Anyway, be back. Talk to you next week. NPR News and then Tom with Ultrasounds. Thanks for being out there.